Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN. Start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
I don't like a crustacean.
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Hostile rage, torment, blood feast.
Hey, question for you, Kaster.
What?
Yeah.
Have you heard any interesting COVID updates recently? Is that still going on?
It doesn't seem like it is.
I know 92 people died in New Jersey yesterday.
And it was 100,000, and in the last week it's been 10,000 more. So it hasn't gone away, but it seems weird. I mean, you see police officers, you see protesters, you see looters, and then a lot of them aren't wearing masks. It's like it shouldn't be forgotten.
But it's an interesting test case, right?
Well, we'll see if it spikes.
Two, 3 weeks from now, we'll see if there's a spike.
Well, there has been a spike in some places since Memorial Day where people really did get out.
But I heard that in 22 cities there had been spikes.
Yeah, New York is really flattened the curve. But they're still slowly phasing in. But like in Dallas, or the Texas governor said today that he's going to allow 50% capacity in all sporting venues. And then Evan Grant, who writes for the Dallas Morning News, said that baseball is leaning toward allowing fans at Astro and Ranger games, despite other ballparks not having fans. And I think that's patently unfair.
Oh, but
so only two teams in baseball are going to have a home field advantage?
I don't think Major League Baseball will allow it.
He said they're leaning toward it.
I mean, you can't allow some teams to have fans and some teams not. It's too much of a disadvantage.
How? Yeah, it didn't make sense to me either, but I kept reading it.
No way they do. No way. There's zero way the commissioner would allow it. You can't. Not only is there an unfair advantage as far as like playing is concerned, but also an unfair advantage. What, some teams can make money, some of their money back, and some can't? The union would never allow it, I wouldn't think. I don't think anybody could. So it would be just like, it might be legal to do it, but the league's not going to allow you to do it. Just like it's legal to smoke marijuana in Colorado, but, you know, Broncos, Rockies, Avalanche, and Nuggets aren't allowed to do it.
So the Giants could play the Cowboys at MetLife. They're not going to be able to have a fan in that stadium in all likelihood. And then they play down at Jerry's World, and there'll be 55,000 people in there.
No way they would allow. They can't. How would that be fair? That would be outrageous. When everybody can have fans, then you can have fans. But until then, sorry. All the teams in the league have to abide by the same rule, period. Now, I don't know how it's going to work for college and high school, different sports like that. I'm sure, you know, high school in Texas, you could probably have, they might get 20, 30,000 fans, maybe even more for a high school football game. That's different. But for pros, no, it can't happen.
You guys might have heard the story earlier today. There was controversy at Florida State. After their head coach, Mike Norvell, said that he had talked to all of his players individually about race issues and George Floyd, and then their star defensive lineman, Marvin Wilson, came out and said, that's not true, and we're not going to practice because this is a lie.
How do you think he was going to get away with it? If it was, in fact, a lie, how would he think that he's going to get – you didn't think the players were going to talk?
I know. Well, they ended up having a team meeting today, and here's what Marvin Wilson had to say.
We met as a team today.
coming together, and we're going to do three things. One, everybody on the team is going to be registered voters going forward, that we're going to have our say-so on this next election. I encourage everybody, every black person, every athlete, anybody that has a say-so that's willing to vote, to go out and vote to help this next election. Two, number two, we're going to move forward, and we're going to do different fundraisers and different things like that going forward to help give money to organizations to help send black kids to college, because we need more doctors, we need more lawyers, we need more politicians, we need more people with say-so of color. Number three, what we're going to do is we're going to do more fundraisers and to help kids around Tallahassee. I've been in Tallahassee for 4 years now, and so many schools around Tallahassee is below the poverty line, bro. This is just so many schools. You got some schools that's almost 100% on free lunch. You got kids that got fifth grade kids taking care of their first or second grade little brother or sister. You know what I'm saying? Going home, their mama out working all night long trying to provide to keep the lights on at night.
And pretty impressive kid. Let's hear a little bit more from Marvin Wilson.
I want to be that change. I want to be that guy that go out with all these tattoos on my body in a year or two, showing these kids that, yeah, I got all these tattoos. Yeah, I got all this stuff going on with my body. I probably got earrings, or I might got a chain on. At the same time, I'm going to be a millionaire, an educated millionaire with a degree. And I'll be able to tell them kids that you can be whatever you want in this world if you put your mind to it and you work hard, because you come from royalty. You are black, and you should be proud of that. You know what I'm saying? You stand for something, and you mean something. You have a story to tell and a story that needs to be heard no matter what. You are special. I want to tell little girls that they are special, that they mean something, that we need our black women. We need to stop oppressing our black women and build them up. Show them that they are worth something. Show our black men that they are not thugs. They are more than an athlete. Homeboy, you go be a doctor and lawyer if you want to be. You be whatever you want in this world if you put your mind to it and you work hard, because no matter what you do in life, it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenges. It's going to be naysayers. It's going to be people that are going to say you can't do it. But as long as you got your mind, you got that knowledge, you do whatever you want in this world.
Got to tell you, pretty impressive of him and Florida State to kind of pull this together and seem to turn something that seems so negative into a positive.
I mean, everybody should be speaking out. I think that's important. I mean, that's words of leadership. And you're going to really be able to make a difference in the community that you're trying to reach. Mm-hmm. Because this is an example of somebody who's going to be a huge success. And anybody in this country should be able to have that chance to be a success.
Peter, you wanted an update on the coronavirus. 20 minutes ago, the New York Daily News tweeted out, the New York City witnessed zero confirmed deaths due to coronavirus on Wednesday.
Wow.
It's the first day without a COVID-19 death in months.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. I wonder how much we're going to find out that simply the masks and social distancing, just it was everything. It feels like that was everything.
But here's the problem that's going to happen, Peter. Let's say we get through the summer and there's a decided drop, and it looks like it's gone away. Then the criticism is going to be, they overreacted. I mean, they didn't need it. There's no way you could win. They overreacted. They killed businesses and stuff like that. There's no way you're going to win. Mm-hmm. And now that everything's opened up again, and if there's a spike, well, you're not winning that way either, because you don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face. Because those that didn't believe there should be a lockdown will just point to the fact, well, everybody's out now and nobody's getting it, so yeah, they were wrong.
Well, to have them talk to the 110,000 families.
Right.
I mean, I guess we can get into a conversation about, you know, closing things down, but there's no question that PPE works and the masks work. So that's got to be something moving forward as you start to slowly open. But you know, you had to flatten the curve somehow. We had to get our hospitals back on track somehow.
Somebody needs to explain to me, though, the doctors that came out and said, well, nobody needs to wear a mask. I never understood it at the time, and I'm far from a medical expert. This is a disease that you could catch from breathing in through your nose or your mouth. If you have a mask on, how could that not at least inhibit that?
Well, you hope it wasn't.
And doctors that people respect, Dr. Fauci said it at the end of March. Nobody needs to wear masks in this country. I don't get that. I don't understand it.
I mean, you hope it wasn't because they were trying to scare
people. I think
that's
what it was at the beginning, Don. I think that's what it was at the beginning, because hospital workers didn't have enough masks. But now there should be enough masks and people should wear it. Yeah.
But in defense of Fauci and everybody else, and a lot of people don't want to believe this, we're learning so much every day. Now there doesn't seem to be a belief that you can catch it off of surfaces, where before it was, you know, it was like common that you could.
I know they're learning stuff, and it's hard to be critical of the doctors, but I'm not that bright. And I knew that, boy, if everybody wore a mask, that would cut down on it, wouldn't it? And everybody, no, no, you don't have to wear a mask.
I know.
Amazing.
It's. I got into a big argument with someone about that a month ago. And I was like, they were telling me, well, I heard from the CDC. And this, I said, listen, you could tell me whatever stat you want. If I find out there's a virus that's going around that is transmitted through the air, through people's spit, I'm wearing a mask. Sorry. Good luck with it, though. You don't have to. And I probably will be with mask when I leave my apartment for a while.
Until there's a vaccine, I'm going to be with a mask.
Especially, like, I live in an apartment building, so you got to go out to the lobby. You got to see other people first. Like,
Why don't you move to Don's Estate? You saw a shot of it today.
I got to tell you, I thought about it. It's gorgeous. It would be like moving into a Hilton resort.
No better.
Did you see the statement from the Pittsburgh Penguins?
No.
About your
house? Tested positive for coronavirus.
How many?
A player. Who was not in Pittsburgh.
The Yomiuri Giants, a couple of players tested positive, and now they're going to delay their first preseason quote-unquote exhibition game. So now that's going to put into question whether they could start that league.
I said the Pittsburgh Penguins were advised today that a player tested positive for COVID-19. The player is not in Pittsburgh and has been in isolation at his home since first experiencing symptoms. He is recovering and feeling well. Those in close contact with the player leading up to his diagnosis has been notified.
And getting back to the Texas fans thing, since we're wrapping things up or putting bows on things, Andrew pointed this out, and it's true. So the Astros get to play with fans, and they don't have to suffer any boos on the road playing in front of fans. I mean, everything that could have happened good for the Astros has happened good for the Astros. Everything.
But I will – I don't know what I'll do if I'm wrong. I will guarantee you the league will not allow some places, because they should be embarrassed. Rob Manfred should be fired if he allows it. Period. It would be inexcusable. How can you do it?
We're protecting all the players. We have to. I'm talking about changing people's lives completely, but players in random cities, fans can show up.
Yeah, I would demand his resignation if it happened.
Strong.
But remember, Bud, he works for the owners.
Wrong. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. I would demand his resignation if he allowed it to happen.
I've heard, Michael, that if that pressure comes from Don LaGreca, he will resign.
I mean, I don't care if I'm wrong.
The pressure that Don put on Breeze is what made him decide to release the new statement.
Bob Manfred.
I'm not trying to be a punk. I'm just saying that that would just be lazy commissionership. I'm sorry. And none of the other owners, you think any of the owners that can't make money off of fans are going to allow some teams to make money off of
fans? All right, so let me ask you this. What happens if, like, the Texas Rangers have a brand new ballpark and they're able to get 25,000 people into that ballpark every game? And the money is equally spread amongst all the owners. You don't think the owners would be in for that?
Well, they'd be in for it. It still would be wrong. Why should the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros be able to play in front of 25,000 fans, and the Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Phillies, all the other, they can't play in front of anybody? I'm sorry. You just can't allow that to happen. And now, I don't know. I really just think that would be very a really bad in all sports, any even the NFL too. You can't. How do you do that? How do you let, you know, again, the Jets or Giants go to Dallas, but they come here, and that's not the case for the Jets. They're not playing the Cowboys this year, but you know what I mean. I don't think that would be the right thing to do, and I think it would be wrong for the commission to allow it to happen.
Let's wrap up things on baseball, since we're talking baseball for a second. Our very own Jeff Passan was on with SVP, and he was asked where the MLB and the MLBPA stand right now.
In a very confusing place, because right now Major League Baseball feels like it has the advantage. It has the ability to say to the players, we are going to make the season what we want it to be. You guys want your full prorated share of your salary? Fine. We'll give you that. We're just going to do it over 50 games. And the players now have a choice. They either can move somewhere toward the middle and try and make some kind of a, it's not even a counter proposal at this point, but an offer to the league saying, okay, if you're going to play hardball, we're going to go along with you. Or they can do what they are planning on doing right now, which is staying right there and letting the days continue to tick away with no baseball. And that, Scott, is the most frustrating part of these entire negotiations.
And then, you know, we mentioned this earlier, John Heyman, who yesterday was pessimistic about baseball returning, was very optimistic today from what he's hearing. So I think it's very fluid. I still think it's going to get settled. It doesn't make sense not to. And there has to be a middle ground. So 82 at the sliding scale wasn't good. 50 pro rata is not good. So isn't there a middle ground there? Again, I'm not a mathematician, but doesn't seem like 65 or 70 and maybe don't have that much of a sliding scale, maybe give them 90% of their money, or if that doesn't work, just defer their money and pay it over a number of years and give them the interest. I mean, it's right there for you. I could figure it out.
And maybe that's what will happen in the 11th hour, which is what, the 12th?
It's coming close to the 11th hour. No, no. The 11th hour is not the 12th. The 11th hour is they have to be in spring training on the 12th to start, to get ready for July 4th. So the 11th hour to me, well, what's today?
It's now.
The 3rd? I'm Friday or Saturday is the 11th hour.
Yeah, but it's 11th hour, Jace.
It's 11th hour, Jace.
Yeah, you would like,
it's
you
the
would
9th
like
hour.
It. July 4th would be a nice day to do it, but if it ends up being the 5th, 6th, or 7th, it's still 3 weeks before the other sports start.
Yeah, but also if you do commit to playing a 50-game schedule, if you start on July 4th, the World Series is going to the playoffs are going to start in the middle of September.
Let's go to basketball for a second. You mentioned training camp. Woj on SportsCenter. When will teams return to training camp?
There's going to be a return. Essentially, teams asking players to return to their marketplace of quarantine. Workouts will start in individual cities with teams later this month, and then later. At some point in July, the teams will head to Orlando and formal training camps, you know, 5-on-5, and the ability to do everything together on the floor would take place in Orlando. There's going to be more individual, kind of get back in shape type workouts at the team facilities before they hit Florida.
I saw one thing that, you know, people are fighting for seeding because the higher seed gets to pick the hotel that they stay in Disney. So everybody's going to want to be in the Grand Floridian. It's supposedly, and there's a Four Seasons, I think, too.
Do you like the Four Seasons, Michael?
I'm really not a hotel snob. As long as there are bed bugs, as long as there's not bed bugs, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm a big chain hotel guy. I don't need boutiques. Not for me. I'm a very regular guy. I just want a place that feels like Don's house. My only, give me a pool, a La Greca-like pool. It's the only thing I need. Steph Curry, sorry, Don, go ahead.
I'll just say, the hotels they have to choose from, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, they're going to be okay. I think they're going
to
be working.
Have you ever been to Disney World, Peter?
Never have. Been to Disneyland.
Okay.
I've been to the land.
I've never been to Disneyland, but it's supposed to be completely different than World.
Never been to the World.
Well, somebody explained to me, land is kind of where you kind of commuter.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Way to put it. You know,
land is like Busch Gardens or King's Dominion. It's like
you swing by for a day, you leave.
Which, by the way, sounds terrific in my opinion. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and other Warriors were planning to march in a peaceful protest event in the Oakland area. They're now among the many athletes and celebrities taking to the streets to protest in the wake of the death of George Floyd. Hey, Michael, you're a news guy. When's the actual George Floyd funeral?
I know there was
A memorial today in New York.
There was a memorial today in Minneapolis. I believe the funeral could be tomorrow in Texas, from what I read. I believe
it's in Houston. Yeah,
yeah. But today was supposedly a very moving memorial in Minneapolis. Yeah, I don't know if you guys are like this. I sit and I stare at the news at night while everybody in the house has gone to bed, and I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe that this man was killed like that. I can't believe the things that are going on. I can't believe the COVID-19. I sit there and I'm like kind of in a daze. I can't believe it.
And I brought this up the other day. These two things have one thing in common for me that's so disturbing. I don't know how it ends.
Right.
Or when. I don't I don't know what the post-coronavirus world is going to look like. I don't know when things will kind of
The funeral's next Tuesday,
better.
By the way.
In Houston?
And today was a memorial in Minneapolis. His funeral's next Tuesday in Houston, yeah.
Because Peter brought it up. It's like all we need to see is the police officer in handcuffs and things will calm down. Well, they're all four now are in custody.
Well, I think that the three that were out, that really angered a lot of people, and it should have.
Yeah.
All four should have immediately been charged. I mean, somebody who's not a legal scholar could see that. So after Ellison then charged the other three and then moved up to a murder two, the main guy, I think that assuaged some people. But still, they have to be convicted, too. What they did was reprehensible.
Well, that's
it was
the
heinous.
Thing. And how long is that? You know, we know this process takes a while.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a whole journey here. Till there's a conviction,
right.
Or
and
not.
God forbid, can you imagine if any of them are exonerated?
Exactly. Imagine that.
Well, but we're also seeing is that it's about this, but it's more than just this.
Well, right? and to that point, don't you think it's possible? So many people are going to be out of work. So many people are upset. There's so much divisiveness in the country, and the presidential elections in November. I think we are seeing some form of regular protest all the way through the election. That's my thought. That's what I think we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, fortunately, though, positive note, the last couple of days, the protests, I'm not saying haven't been moments that are bad. I'm sure people are getting hurt. I'm sure there are challenging moments. But it seems like, by and large, the protests have been very peaceful. That's certainly how it appears.
I think the mistake that New York City made and de Blasio made was the original curfew of 11 o'clock. I mean, 8 o'clock made sense, and just as the sun goes down, and it really stopped a lot of the outside agitators from being able to get into the city. And now, because of the technology we have to be able to read the license plates, we're going to these people that are on the outside that were laying literally laying the bricks out for
But no one knows who that is yet, Don.
But I do think we can get to the bottom of it because, again, the technology with the license plates, they've been able to find out who these cars are registered to. A lot of them were out of state. So I'm not saying that they're all going to be reprimanded, but I do think over time you're going to see a lot of convictions for people who came here specifically to loot.
I'll tell you what.
Specifically to change the narrative of the protest.
I'll tell you what.
Those are the ones that angers me so much, that people are protesting something that's just and right, that they have a legitimate beef and they're pouring their heart and soul into it. And these instigators on either side to do that, they can't be punished enough.
But the thing is, we truly don't know where it's coming from. And
we got to be better and find out.
We got to
be better.
Because when you see the videos, of all the things that have freaked me out, I mean, the violence obviously freaks you out the most, to see just horrifying violence. And I saw that poor cop who was shot the other day to death. That video was horrifying. And I've seen people run over. And, you know, when you see the woman in Manhattan and in Brooklyn who got pushed to the ground by the cop and her head hits the ground, she ended up, I think, having a seizure. All the violent videos obviously are horrifying. But beyond that, what horrifies me the most are these bizarre videos of the bricks being left in all these cities across the country.
So frightening.
And then did you see the weird women, those two women who were calmly writing, spray painting on the side of a building, and the people run up to them, and they're like, why are you writing this? Where are you from? You're not Black Lives Matter. What are you doing? And the women just, like, start walking away and won't talk to them. And, like, you can tell they're not there for the cause. You can tell they're just walking up and pulling a little.
And what they're doing, and it's very clear what these people are doing, is they want to turn the protest into looting and rioting to diminish the protesters. And that, to me, is so sickening. This means so much to this country, what these people are protesting for, and that they're going out in the street to do it, and the intent is to do it in a peaceful manner. And then there are the insidious forces on either side that are trying to turn this into something else. I don't sleep at night thinking about that. That gets me how evil people can be.
It's scary. The Missouri football players knelt to honor George Floyd and to raise awareness around registering to vote. There was a tweet that came out that said players and coaches, the head coach, who, by the way, is my now new favorite head coach in all of sports, his name is Aliyah Drinkwitz, who is my
favorite.
You want
to have a drink with Aliyah.
Yeah, the fact that his last name is Drinkwitz is, I'm flabbergasted. I don't know if he's Jewish, but between the wits and the drink, tremendous. Anyways, he tweeted that players and coaches knelt for 8 minutes and 46 seconds to honor Floyd, who, of course, had Officer Chauvin's knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds before he died. Gonzaga's Mark Few endorses a team plan to cancel activities on Election Day. He said all Gonzaga team activities, workouts, practices, scrimmages will all be canceled on November 3rd to promote the significance of civic engagement, which I thought was pretty cool. Steve Stricker says the Ryder Cup without fans is a yawner of an event, which I tried to tell you guys from the beginning, even though you thought it was stupid. Of all the golf events, there basically every golf event, the crowd doesn't matter. Then there's the Ryder Cup, where the crowd's the only thing that matters.
Can't wait. I will watch every golf.
He said, Stricker said, I mean, this event is made by the fans. To me, if it was without fans, it would almost be a yawner of an event.
You know, Don said I despised golf a long time ago, and he still despises golf. But there were people on Twitter yesterday who said, I really love the show, but it bothers me that Don always says I despise golf. Golf has raised so much money for charity. And I felt like saying, those are drops. And he does despise golf. He doesn't despise the fact that it raises money.
Golf is garbage.
You're allowed to have different opinions. That doesn't mean you have to shut the show off.
So that's where you're going to go. The golf raises money, so I...
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
On a sports show, someone can't despise a sport. And guys, on this day in 2000,
Portland has 3 timeouts left. The Lakers have 2. Bryant to shot.
Maybe the most memorable moment, the alley-oop from Kobe to Shaq to finish off the Blazers in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Can you guys believe it? 20 years ago today.
Poor Portland. If it wasn't the Bulls, it was the Lakers.
You're a big Portland fan, right?
Oh, yeah.
What reason?
I'll never say.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.